Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice to not hear you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, pulling back that curtain on waste, fraud, and abuse of our government, we the people. I'm Eric Andrew Sinati, Eric A. Sinati with a real big A. We all know why. Who?
Eric Sinati, of course.
Right here on the Hostile Zone, on your FM dial, your AM dial, on iHeart, Spotify, Amazon Music, cable TV. And if I'm not on your cable TV, demand it. If you're in on the show, you know how to reach out. It's Eric at EricAndrewSinati.com, Eric at TheHostileZone.com. And if you're watching, all of it is on the ticker on the screen below. I'm accompanied by the on-air talent and vocalist extraordinaire, Miss Bianca C-S-E-A, like the ocean.
Bianca C, that's me. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show, Miss Bianca. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I am doing well. And we have a very interesting discussion today. We have a great guest coming on.
Do we?
We're familiar with the overreach of government.
Oh, yes.
And wrongful prosecution. Mm-hmm. And the court of public opinion making judicial decisions before the actual person who's accused or whatever is even in the courtroom. So we're going to talk about that today.
All right.
So let me get into the opening monologue right here. Welcome to the Hostile Zone, where facts are weapons and the truth doesn't flinch. That's right. Tonight's episode pulls no punches. And folks, you know, I call it as it is. I don't really care. I'm going to say what I think, whether you like it or not, whether they come after me or not. So I can relate to our guest having dealt with the government, having worked for the government, and then dealing with other aspects of the government targeting me. So we're going to get into that. We're going to hold no punches. We're talking about our justice system, not the kind that they carve into the marble, ivory courthouses and all that stuff. No, we're talking about the kind that people fight on a daily basis from a prison cell, which I have a whole issue with that. We can get into that. You have a right to represent you have a right to confront your accuser and to participate in your own defense.
Right.
And if you're locked in a jail, and I've written about the bail reform, I've written about this. I've also written about disproportionate minorities in the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. So I have some knowledge on this. But we're not talking about that kind of justice. We're talking about the people that are fighting for justice for their lives from a prison cell without major funding like a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. But our guest tonight, really, really, really great case, and what a fascinating guy. I can't wait to get him on. Our guest tonight built an AI-driven platform designed to expose the rot core of our criminal justice system, the rotten core of some of the things that they do. And he did it himself from behind bars.
Oh, wow.
He did it. And, you know, and we're going to help him. We're going to get his story out there. This is not about one man's story, folks. This might be one guy's story. And it is. We all know somebody with that story. We all know of somebody who has something, whether it be anything. Many people have been accused of speeding when they weren't speeding.
Mm-hmm.
This could down to the biggest stuff. So we all know this is something we need to listen to. It's not just one person. This is the entire system. And anybody could be in it at any time. And you're underwater before you even got in the water. It is a digital rebellion. I love it. He's rebellious. It is a digital rebellion. It is resistance coded in data, metadata. I love it. Funded by strangers, by you, me, and everybody else, and everybody that's listening, we're going to put the information out. Give a dollar. Give a dollar. You may not like this man. You may not like what he's been accused, but you never want to be wrongfully convicted or wrongfully accused when the government has unlimited money come after you.
Hmm.
So $1 out of your pocket to this program could help a lot of people. This is aiming to protect people who are wrongfully accused. He calls this program In My Defense Fund, InMyDefenseFund.com. It is a post-conviction technical program, tech platform that really, I mean, he's making, basically he's kicking butt and taking names. I love it. If you're making enemies, you're doing your job. If you triggered somebody, you did something right. Remember that. Only the chosen people and people who have charisma, power, or whatever, they target those because they're afraid of them. We know this because we have a president in the White House with 34 felony indictments who were overwhelmingly reelected. They were afraid of him. They're afraid of a lot of people. And I wonder if they're afraid of my guest. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how his AI program is going to go deep and fight the weaponization of injustice. So as always, I'm going to say again, joining me as always is Miss Bianca C. To the right, she's my right hand, the voice. She is the steel rat in silk. Bianca C, right? Whether she is interrogating the art world by dismantling a broken legal narrative, she knows sharper than prosecutors. You know sharpness. So Bianca, we're in your wheelhouse.
Right.
All right. So as always, the relevant, famous quote of the day, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Folks, I'm going to say it again. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, personal fan of him. I celebrate the same birthday. Just love that man. Wonderful man. Great quote of the day. So let me give a little warm up on the guest here.
Okay.
So our guest tonight is not free, but his ideas are free. They are the bedrock in the foundation of the very fabric of this nation, Constitution of the United States. He has that right to speak. He has the right to have legal counsel. He has the 14th Amendment for equal application of the law and due process. He has a lot of rights. We're going to talk about him here. A little background on him. Convicted in 2002, retried again under extremely, and I'm going to say extreme because I read this a lot and I'm reading more. He was on my other show. We're going to have him back. Extremely questionable circumstances, brought again before the court in 2015. And he is now leading the movement powered by AI. What an amazing thing. Using AI for something. That's just, I can't wait till he gets on. AI and a global community of you guys, of us, of you guys, to fight for those that can't fight for themselves and to speak for those that cannot speak for themselves. Because we all know, no matter who you are, even President Trump could not out-argue the government. They took him down. The will of the people put him back in the White House. So the will of the people, you need to listen to this show and you need to listen to this program.
So people have spoken.
The people have spoken. And hopefully with our guest, we're going to help him out. So we're going to welcome Mr. the creator of InMyDefenseFund.com. Welcome to the Hostile Zone. Bring him in, Carrie. Bring him in.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, James?
How you doing?
You're far away in a place where you can't say where you are right now. So there might be some technical glitches, but we're going to work through this. Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
You're in the green room. This is Miss Bianca C.
Hello. Nice to meet you, Bianca. Hi. Glad to be on your show.
And she listened to the other show previously. She's very touched by your case.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you the first minute to just give us a little history, and then we're going to get right into some questioning. And I want you to be raw. Be raw. Mind that I don't want any FCC violations.
I
want you to be raw. This has harmed you emotionally, financially, physically, family-wise. I need you to articulate that here tonight. So give us like the quick, like 1 minute.
I can round it out to tell you it's been the first year anniversary. I've been down going on 10 years now. It's the first year anniversary of the loss of my mother. I was an only child. I'm here while she was suffering from Alzheimer's. I'm here where my kids, where I cut every umbilical cord of all 5 kids. I am a present father. I raised my oldest daughter.
How old are you, James?
I am 60 now.
And you had no prior criminal convictions or history?
No.
Starting all this? Nothing?
No. Nothing.
Okay. I want the folks to know that out there. Okay.
Yes. I raised my oldest.
Yeah, give them like a minute. Tell them the case really quick, James.
Okay.
Tell them the case because we are on a 1 hour time slot.
Gotcha.
We're going to try to go as minimal and commercial as possible to get as much in with you. Just in 30 seconds, tell them what happened to you, and then we're going to get into questions.
Okay. This was a case where it started in 2002, and it was really a bogus case at the time, but my co-D and I were
co-D
thrown under the
bus. Co-defendant, folks.
Co-defendant, and I were thrown under the bus because these independent escorts were working for themselves and working with them
They didn't want to be involved in prostitution, even though they were advertising it?
Oh, they were not only advertising, they were traveling independently doing it themselves.
Right. And that's 1099. Rightfully paying their taxes at the end of the year.
That's what the feds found out, and that's why they dropped the case initially in New York. But the states don't drop cases as quickly as the feds will.
No, they don't. They don't. Yeah.
So my co-defendant took 5 years probation. I took a 2-year sentence from, and I spent 18 months in Rikers.
But you were you were locked up for how long before? Because I want to get the legal specificity from me on the legal side of
in the New York case. In the New York case, I was there
before you made your plea deal. Before you made your plea deal, how long were you locked up?
18 months.
No bail.
No bail.
And you did not have the funds to hire private legal counsel, so you had to use.
No, in New York, I did. That's why I did beat the case to the degree that I did. Because I had two lawyers, in fact. I had out of New York, I had Brooklyn.
Well, and they're both very big names, if you want to throw them out there. They're both very big names.
Don't Worry Murray and Eric Franz.
Right. And Eric is good. Eric is quite good.
Yeah.
He is very tough.
In fact, it was him who wanted to take the girl because he knew she was lying and he had evidence that she lied. But he said, basically, it's up to you if you want
to take it. So what are the allegations? Because I remember we have a 1-hour time slot and I want to get it all
in New York.
What were the allegations and what was the deal that you made?
In New York, the allegations were pimping and pandering. Well, not even pandering. It was only pimping, which they found there was no evidence for that. So I took a plea deal to promoting prostitution and a minor assault in New York.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Now, that's the same people. These are the same two people with the same circumstances, nothing new, 13 years later in California, because they want a bite of this old apple that was rotten.
I believe one of them is an adult entertainment actress,
the primary witness, Natasha Herzig, I think what she goes by now. Her porn name was Tiffany Price.
She won awards in the adult
Avian Awards, industry. All kind of stuff. She did that for about 4 or 5 years.
And wasn't she trying to become a teacher at one point too?
So what she did after her porn career, she was in Yuma, Arizona, and she was a cheerleading coach, head coach for her high school.
So
one of the parents found out that she was a former porn star. When they found that out, they put her on America's Most Wanted, and it blew up the case. She lost her job, of course, but she found a way to make profit off of that because America's Most Wanted called her. I had a warrant at the time.
What was your warrant for, if we can ask?
My warrant was for the New York case.
Let me put this disclaimer out here. Hold on, James. Hold on. Let me put this disclaimer out here. I don't want you to say anything that will affect the outcome of any legal
No, this is all past information.
Anybody. Okay.
This is all information that is available. Yeah. Okay. I had a warrant at the time from the New York case. They had my co-defendant, and she was in Rikers for 10 months before she took the plea deal. But they were trying to find me. Two months into the investigation, they had never found me. But the primary witness, Natasha, decided on her own after she went back home to become a porn star. Well, you weren't in a traumatic situation if you decided to become a porn star. While there's a
I want to know how you go from criminal charges and stuff to porn to working in the school system, but I guess that's a whole other thing.
Yeah,
I guess they didn't put the government resources into vetting her.
She went her entire porn career. After the porn career, she's going to be the upstanding citizen now. So
you know what makes me laugh, James? It just hit my head. It's not in my notes. I don't want to cut you, but I want to know how. I want to know who and how at the school knew she was a porn star. But before they were watching porn. I thought I never heard of this girl, right? So somebody in that school that ratted on her was watching porn.
Possibly.
Yes. Right? So, I mean, one of the parents.
The person outed her had to be like, I know who she is. We watch her every day on such and such.
No, it was one of the parents.
Parent.
Right. Yeah. It was one of the parents. It's in the paper. It's in the Yuma. It's all in the front page of the news of Yuma, Arizona. Yuma, Arizona.
I watched a couple of her videos when you told me. I checked her out.
That's how she got on TV. That's how she got on TV. But see, at this point, though, Eric, she's making money off of, when she got on TV, she found a whole other niche.
Right.
Because she's now a keynote guest speaker. And the police look at her stuff, and everybody's going to her seminars now. She made a way to make profit off of this.
Well,
and then by her making profit off of this, 13 years later, she was at a seminar in Santa Cruz, California, where a police officer I had dealings with on a family matter of getting custody of my second oldest daughter, which I was in the process of going to family court where that was concerned, and fighting the uncertified guardian. Anyway, the police officer remembered a year later when he saw my co-defendant and me at her seminar in her seminar. I said, as far as in her promotion.
You want, she made you want a whole story out, this, out of it. You want to shout out this, this wonderful law enforcement officer who decided to bring back a 15-year-old case?
I don't want to put his name out there because it's part of the investigation. Because it shows the derelict duty they had.
Qualified immunity is out the window.
Here's the problem.
Qualified immunity is out
the window. All the information that this girl was lying in the New York case, but you still decided 13 years later to create a new investigation.
I mean, you must say, I mean, unbelievable. So,
let me get back
and forth. Unbelievable.
Non-jurisdictional.
Let me get into it. Let's get into it, James. I just wanted to get that. What are your thoughts on that? Because Bianca listened in on the other one. And she was
from a woman's perspective, by her like doing that, it affects the credibility. Like, I wouldn't believe anything she says, to be honest.
Right. Well, they were having a problem. Even in trial, they had to tell her to tone down her dress because she looked like a porn star. And they wanted her to look like the all-American.
Right. They wanted her to be a wholesome.
Voted for Trump. They gave her the wholesome look. They did all that. They played.
We need wear a turtleneck.
You know, I hope that.
Here's an interesting thing, Eric. You know what she said? She was the only one that showed up, even though they talked these other people into lying. She was the only one that showed up for the sentencing in this case. Guess what she said in her statement, victim impact statement. But she said, and this is noted, I can say this. She said, "I got you once, and now I got you again." Wait a minute.
Really? They let
How
her
is
say
that?
That
not double jeopardy?
On the record?
That is
Did you get that on the record?
On the record. On the record.
Wow. Yeah. On the record.
On the record, she said that. Yes.
Unreal. Unreal.
On the record, she said that. And interesting, Eric, you know what's the funny part about it? I'm a very observant person. I looked over at the prosecutor. I swear to God, he cringed so hard.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure
he cringed. Because she said that.
My case.
But that's on the record.
That goes my case, yeah.
Well, you know, she's not really that intelligent, so.
I mean, wow.
To say that.
The federal government, in my opinion, of the studies I've done where the case is concerned, they dropped the case based on the fact that this girl lied so much.
Right.
They backed
And that is the only tangible piece of evidence they really had here, right?
That's it.
And she and that really is not any, I mean, it's almost like hearsay. Was she even there?
Yeah.
She was a prostitute. Or she was a call girl.
She was a call girl, yes.
Now, mind you, I want to, for the folks, I just want you to know, and here's a piece of information. This is coming out of the state of New York. I want you to know this is the same state that the former attorney general and governor of New York was involved with high-end prostitution.
Oh, absolutely.
Elliot Spitzer, that. I believe. Correct? Elliot Spitzer.
I remember that, yes.
Shout out to you, that. Elliot. High-end call girl that he was charging to the government, I believe. This is the same state that prosecuted you, a regular everyday Joe, who was friends with a girl that's doing prostitution.
I will give New York this prop, though. New York didn't create lies to convict me further. They didn't coerce witnesses to bring out lies that weren't even in the original case.
And that's what we're going to get into the questions. Now, let me move in. I'm going to get there. In between questions, because I know where you're at is very loud. Can you just mute in between so there's no background, if you don't mind?
Say that again.
So in between talking, if you could mute, because there's a lot of sound when I'm about to ask a question.
Okay.
Because I know it's loud where you're at. And you were convicted in 2002, then faced retrial in California in 2015. Convicted by plea deal. And let me pontificate a point here for the folks out there legally. He took a deal. Thank you, Mr. Young. Thank you. He took a deal like many people in a lot of cases. In civil cases, we hear this all the time. Somebody gets sued. A big company gets sued. A major person gets sued. They throw the fazools. They pay to make it go away. Well, in the criminal justice system, sometimes, many times, the defendant doesn't have the financial resources to do things. But their best way to keep the weight and the unimaginable and vast resources of the government from crushing them, they take a plea deal even when they're innocent. So moving with that, back. So that was in 2002. Then they resurrected this case on him in 2015 in California. Yes, folks, Route 80 out of New Jersey to New York City ends Route 80. The other end of Route 80 ends in California. On the other side of Route 80, they were waiting for him in 2015 to charge him again. I want to ask you, what really happened? And who truly is Tiffany Price? And who is Karen? And the name is, oddly enough, her name is Karen Hoare, H-O-R, in this story.
Really?
Her name is Karen Hoare.
No way.
Yes, I try not to deal with that, but yes.
Yeah, I have to be careful because someone will give me a hard time. You know, I get botted and trolled. I get lied about a lot online too, so.
That's one of those, Eric, that you have to imply and let them do what they do with it.
I think it's a very appropriate name. But anyway.
I guess she was born with it.
I guess she was chosen, right? We all have a path in life. Yeah, so tell
me. No comment.
What really happened that you can speak of without putting yourself in a situation? And again, if you're out there listening and watching, folks, never talk to the police without an attorney. Never talk to the government ever without an attorney. Your right to seek first 10 amendments of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and your right to an attorney, the Sixth Amendment right, and all of them, they apply to every, not just a police officer, they apply to the district attorney. They apply to every member of government and those working for the government. Never talk to them without an attorney. So tell us specifically, who is this Karen or, and who is Tiffany Prince, and what is her real name outside the porn industry?
Okay. Tiffany Price,
that's her
porn star, is actually Natasha Herzig. She was Natasha Bradshaw back then, but she's Natasha Herzig. I guess she got married in that time frame.
All right. She was the what?
Yeah. Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
So she was the what?
Yeah.
Okay. So Karen Hoare actually was more so in the situation coerced by Tiffany Price leading the pack. When in New York the case happened, Tiffany Price was lying the whole time. The whole year she was an escort, she was lying to her family about what she was doing and where she was going. She lied to her mother. She was all cross country lying to her mother, telling her that she was in California when she was in fact in the Bahamas. She was in New York. She was.
And what was she allegedly doing for work, according to her family?
She was a model, is what she told them.
You know what? I'm going to cut you off. But this makes me sound like you hear these stories as a guy. Gentlemen out there, we hear this. A woman does something, and then later on, they regret it. And next thing you know, you find yourself being accused of something. This almost sounds like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As a way out. Yeah.
Yeah, really.
They use that. You're the skate. They throw you under the bus, and you're the way out. And that.
And we lose. We lose.
And you're going to lose because the world is looking at it and not seeing that happening. They're not seeing that part of it.
And the internet and the news outlets destroy you before you even get into the courtroom.
Well, yeah, they all work together where that's concerned, because that's all beneficial for all of
us. You know they call the press.
Yeah.
But here's your chance. You're on primetime, 8 p.m., on many, many stations, more than 2,000. And you're going to be syndicated for download. Here is your chance to look at the public and tell them, or not look, but say to the public what it is.
The initial situation, that's why it wasn't any pimping and pandering charges or anything, because it was that was no proof that ever even was the case.
What was your actual involvement
in New
Can
York?
You say that, like, what was your involvement that led to this with that? I mean, I know you're not a pimp.
What
were you actually doing?
Basically, a promoter. I did parties, I did events, and I was good at promoting things. I was involved with answering phones and different stuff like
you're
that.
You're a marketing guy.
Me
you're
and
marketing
my co-defendant. Guy. So that put me in that progress.
You're not doing any different than these people are doing on Instagram and TikTok now in a more advanced.
That part. Yes.
Right?
I definitely haven't done anything to be in the situation that I'm in right now.
I read the whole thing and
with the
I
time that
several
they
people
did.
Several people have verified that you're a good guy. You wouldn't be on this show if we thought you were actually doing these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Ms. Bianca has something for you. Yeah.
And explain how a case that started in New York ended up relit across the country. Are you looking at government overreach?
I have a clear-cut explanation of not explanation, but how it happened. They wanted a piece of the action because she was on America's Most Wanted. She had been on GMA. It looks good for a prosecutor. And we were from California. The story was we were all over the country doing what we were doing, blah, blah, blah. And it started in California. Okay.
I mean, she's obviously an attractive woman. So I can see how the marketing was big.
Yes. So we go, we live in California, but we're somewhere else. Okay. Regardless of how it happens, if there was no conspiracy, first of all. But even if you go with the prosecution's story, this was his story. That's a conspiracy. That started in 2001. And as the words say in the paperwork, it went on unabated. We know what that word means. Uninterrupted.
Right.
Till 2015. How, I ask you, is it unabated when both me and my
co-defendant
took plea deals based on what was said for 2001? That's done.
Yeah.
Anything after that, you would need new evidence.
And we're not going to debate legalities on this show. We did that on Eric A. Sinati Unplugged.
I understand. Okay.
So if folks that are tuning into the Hostile Zone, you want to get into some of the legal specificities, we spent an hour on my other show. You got that question. All right. So now I got another one. Now we're going to get into what the wonderful things you're doing now. So from prison to a platform, from prison to a platform. You are the metadata, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok of the legal AI world. The birth of In My Defense Fund. I love it. So you built InMyDefenseFund.com, InMyDefenseFund.com while you were incarcerated. What pushed you past so much despair to be so innovative? I'm shocked. I want to know. Everybody.
Interestingly enough, I was involved with creating .coms and websites before I came down. I was in the process of actually creating a multi-million dollar website to the point where in strip clubs, they were calling me the Mark Zuckerberg of the strip club.
I tried to stop myself from saying that when I called you something a minute ago. I actually almost did say that.
I'll put this out there. So, because anybody that knew me from the area that I'm in, they would know me. I was somewhat of a local celebrity. I was the male stripper. And I ran a male strip company called the Chocolate.
You know, I'm from North Jersey. So where did this happen? Because we live close to each other.
So I did that, and I had that going for quite some time. So I understood the industry really well because I was a promoter. So what I did is I came up with a concept to where literally I was invited on Saturday to meet Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion because they were interested in my stripper.
Did you have a stage name?
I don't want to get into that right now.
Hey, listen, don't answer anything you don't want
to. Yeah, I don't want to get into that right now. But the thing was, if you say my stage name in the area that I'm from, they know who I am.
You know, I don't. You didn't give me that. When in the green room, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to look it up.
I need to know. Okay. You'll know. Just look up Chocolate Thursdays. Bianca doesn't need to know, though. Look up Chocolate Thursdays and look up Club Upscales, and you'll know who I was. But anyway, saying, with all that
we have a 1 hour time block.
I'll say this real quick.
Okay.
I did that. So by doing that, I missed that meeting, needless to say, because I got arrested on a Friday when I was supposed to meet with Hefner on Saturday.
Wow.
They wanted to incorporate. So what I did is
Shut you down because you were growing bigger. You are becoming a voice.
Co-defendant said. They said that I created a .com that was 85-90% automated.
In 2002. When the internet wasn't even a thing at all, really.
No. I created this in 2013, 2014.
Okay, still.
Before I got arrested.
Very early stuff.
Yeah. So what I did with that particular platform, what I was planning to do with that was create a platform where women can make more money at the clubs by having a social media presence that's strictly for them. Now
hold
long
that
story
James.
Short.
I want to say one thing and then I got to take a station break, but I want the people to hear this. You sound very much like an Andrew Tate case right now. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Folks. Eric A. Sonati on the Hostile Zone. We're taking a short break, accompanied by Miss Bianca C. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You need to hear this story.
At the Ramrand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
We're back. Welcome back. The Hostile Zone. Eric A. Sonati and Miss Bianca C. Thank you for following us after the break. We have a guest with us in mydefensefund.com. We have James with us. James, come on back into the show.
I'm here.
All right. Before we left, we were talking about how you, from inside the prison wall, you created a platform. You went from being closed in a cell to having a platform and a voice, God forbid, right? So Miss Bianca has a question for you. Miss Bianca, go for it.
Yes, James. And you focus on post-legal relief. That's not just legal defense. It's damage control after the verdict. Walk us through that concept.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is, I said something, Bianca, to a guard. It's my first time down. And he looked at me with shock and bewilderment when I said it to him.
Mind you, folks, he was locked up in in Rikers Island, New York City. Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Wow. When I said this to the guard, I said, you know, not even one innocent. I said one innocent person behind bars that didn't commit a crime is one too many.
Yes.
And he looked at me like,
boy, I'd rather see a million people walk free that are guilty than one innocent person spend one day in jail that shouldn't be.
And as I spent more time and talked to more inmates, I realized there's a lot of people in here that didn't commit the crime. There's people
because they don't have unlimited resources to take you out.
But that's the problem. Yeah. And that's what inspired me to come up with in my defensefund.com, because I said, well, I know from my experience, when I had Eric and I had Don't Worry Murray, I went home.
And they all
I know that if I didn't have paid counsel, if I didn't have paid counsel in New York, I wouldn't have went home as fast as I did.
And you probably would have won in a trial, but it would have cost you a fortune and probably would have.
Absolutely. Well, just like in this case now, my co-defendant, she's home with our kids. We have three kids together. She's home with our kids because we opted to pay for private counsel for her. She's home. She's my co-defendant. I'm not. That's where we are.
Hate the sound, but it's like the guy is always wrong and the accused is always guilty. And the media jumps on the bandwagon and you Google is just you can't beat it, you know, you're destroyed. I personally have been through it myself. So I feel your pain. I really do.
I gotta say that's very noble of you to say protect her from going to jail and
both of us. She was down in county for 2.5 years. So first time we had been away from our kids.
Yeah.
Very
and
honorable.
One of us had, she had to be the one to go home. She had to
somebody
be the one to go
home.
Yeah.
And you know what? Somebody has to go home. You know, we got the hunters and the gatherers, right? Somebody has to go to war. Somebody has to take care of the family at home. And you went to war.
And I would do it again. And I would do it again.
All right. And because you're a man. You got honor.
I was going to say that. That's what a man would do.
Honor and loyalty. And that's why you're on both of my shows. And that's why we're going to follow your case. So with that, in the segue, coded justice. How AI, artificial intelligence, bites back. For you, James, you're using AI, artificial intelligence, to reanalyze court transcripts and procedural history and case law. What can your AI that you're doing, for folks out there, you're using OpenAI, which means there's no sneaky stuff. AI is not going to lie. It's all open there. They can see it. Mm-hmm. How can your AI uncover what a traditional legal team may have missed?
Here is my take on that. From my research and development, this is what I've noticed. A lot of criminal attorneys, a lot of attorneys, period, are nervous right now because of AI. Because all the shady backroom deals and all the different stuff that they've been able to do, they're not able to do that now. Because if you notice how lawyers work, they all have paralegals. The paralegals
and actually,
do the
I
research.
Want to cut you off. Let me cut you off because I got something great for you to know. Go back into we have 150 episodes. Check out my episode in the Hostile Zone where I covered the lawyer that got disbarred and lost his license for using AI. Check it out.
And all of that happens because sometimes you see those and we automatically think it's because that person did something wrong. Not necessarily. There's people in the system that want to protect the system and keep it just the way it was. I made a little commercial on my website, on my social media. It says 98% conviction rate, mostly minorities and black people. Black people and minorities.
And it says,
listen to me, Eric. It says the system is broken. No, the system's not broken. It's working just like we intended it to.
Listen, honestly, slavery hasn't died. It moved into a different way.
That's it.
And we all slaves of the people. And it is the government of the people, for the people, and funded by the people. Yet, very few suffer that consequence. And look at our president. Look at our president. Whether you people like him or not, he won overwhelmingly. Yet he had, out of New York, same area as you, right? Same spot. Mm-hmm. Alvin Bragg. Shout out to Alvin Bragg, lost a security clearance, going to be indicted himself. He got 34 felony with nonsense evidence, and the people spoke. We the people. So maybe the people will speak for you. I mean.
I sure hope so.
What say you? I hope so. Miss Bianca is itching here. She's been taking notes. So she's amped up. She feels the pain for your family.
Pattern recognition.
Mute in between if you could.
Yeah. Pattern recognition misconduct. Detection, algorithmic fairness, This is next level. Yeah, it's next level. But how do you avoid bias in AI? How do you keep it from becoming just another tool of the system and the government?
Of the government, a tool of the government, right? Because you know they're going to try to get their hands
this
on
is it. How. Because when the government, it's like, okay, I'll use this as a metaphor. Sometimes I use metaphors. You could be the best comedian in the audience, but long as the comedian on stage has the microphone,
he's got the power.
We don't know that. And he wins the conversation between. Yep. Because he's the one on stage with the microphone and we can't hear you. We are those people that can't be heard.
They control the narrative. True. You know they exactly. got their in people.
When you control the narrative, you control the story.
When you control the narrative, you control. And when you got news people panned outside your house like you were on America's Most Wanted, when you're doing that, how do you have a fighting chance to defend yourself? You don't. You don't.
Well, here's where I had a fighting chance when I was on America's Most Wanted.
If that's the first thing I asked. You're going to go down.
That's the first thing I asked Eric. I said, well, it's on America's Most Wanted. You know what Eric told me? Don't worry about that. That's an entertainment show. My lawyers at that time, Eric, my lawyers cost $70,000 in a ring.
But you got off real easy, actually, with those two guys. You got off easy on that price.
Yeah.
Well, I had the money at that time. Difference is I had just invested into the website that I was working on for Playboy. The money that I had, I put everything into that because I didn't want to be around that concept. I didn't want to be anymore around the lifestyles. All that was done. I'm done with all that. I'm ready to do something different. This is not what I really signed on for and it's gotten worse.
Right.
I want to go back to what I know well, and that's party promotions and event planning, and that's it.
Right.
And that's what that was all about. I understand this AI, I understand .coms. I understand that was the way to make money. And I understood how to transfer that. So by fast forward, putting that concept on hold, I had studied enough on launching websites that make money. And when it became effective to me, I got a whole new purpose in life. My new purpose.
Of course, purpose is to not be in prison and to not be persecuted.
Well, to not that and to help other people.
And
it's not just about me. There's other people, many stories since I've been down that I've heard other people go through, and I want to help everybody. Everybody
nobody
I can help.
The pain you felt. Help. Nobody knows what it's like until they're there.
Yeah.
And you feel the weight of the system against you, and you're willing to cop any deal to get out of the jail at that moment. You're not thinking down the line. You're not thinking you have to save your family. You have to.
Eric, this time around, they didn't even give me those options.
Right. Well, now you have
never got a. We never got a plea bargain. None of that. They saw an opportunity.
Let me segue into segment four because it's going to go right to what you're talking about.
They railroaded us right into it.
The color of conviction, racial bias in the system.
Yes,
we're going there. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Okay.
So you've linked your mission to broader systemic failures. Can we talk? I've talked about this. I've written about it. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor. How does race play into wrongful convictions, and how does your platform?
I have something that I can say, and this really happened, and this is the truth, and this is my truth. It's like I'm opening my truth page for people. My public defender said to me when he first met me and shook my hand.
Mind you, folks out there, the public defender on the top of his paycheck or her paycheck, that's the same government agency, same name of the state or government as the prosecutor that's prosecuting you and the judge that's going to. I just want to get that up.
Okay. So what the public defender said to me when he came to visit me in the interview, first thing he said, no, they're looking to roast your big black ass.
Really? You got to be kidding me.
They don't take kindly. Let me finish. They don't take kindly to big black pimps. This was his words verbatim.
Wow. It sounds like
you've already convicted me.
Sounds out of like late 80s, 1990s, New York City.
You've already convicted me. Right? You are you're not even representing me. I will call you a surrogate prosecutor at this point.
He's facilitating the closure of this case.
That's it. That's all you did for me. And he admitted to me that he did a shitty job. He said this to me. I'm not going to lie. I'm telling the truth. He said this to me right to my face.
He said, listen, I did
a piss poor job on your case. He said you should have action in the appellate court. But by the time you get there, I will have retired by then, so it won't matter to me.
Wow.
His words, not mine.
Wow. So Ms. Bianca's chomping at the bit for you here.
Man, that's like, I don't like when lawyers do that. Like, if you're going to take a case, do it right. I mean, I don't like lawyers like saying, hey, I have to work in this town, quote, you know? Come on. Like, right. Seriously.
Right. Yeah, like, especially in the New York.
There's too much. You
know? That just makes
the county. Crazy. Oh, I forgot to tell you this part. Very important. This is interesting. You're going to love this, Eric.
All right, give it to me.
The lead district attorney in our case.
And now we're talking, this is the California one now.
The California case, lead district attorney, was fired and prosecuted. His name is on my paperwork. He was fired and prosecuted for embezzlement of over $70,000 in this county and lying. Really? He was replaced.
I don't want to give legal. We need to talk in the green room. I don't want to do any legal talk.
Oh, is that why he's saying he wants to retire?
Are they elected out there? Are they elected?
Fired and convicted.
No, but I mean, are your district attorneys or prosecutors elected out in there in that jurisdiction?
I believe they are. Yes.
I don't ever think judges in that they should not be elected. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, it murkies the water, in my opinion. But Bianca's got.
But
something
I always say that karma always has its way of going back to.
Well,
people.
You have a voice on both of my shows.
That once you give out the negative, you get it back.
Now, let me before
the only reason why I mentioned that, Eric, is because it's public information right now. That's
absolutely
the only reason.
Absolutely. And I'm going to write on it.
That was on the news out here.
Let me say one thing before we get into Bianca's question. Folks, mm-hmm. If you are at home listening or in your car listening or watching, if you mute out for a second, Jane, very loud. If you are at home or some of your listeners, you can say, this is not me. This could be you. Many of people find himself facing the wrong side of a prosecution and being innocent, right? Even to speeding tickets and all kinds of things. When the government says you did something and they put it all over the news, it's very hard for you to undo that.
It is so,
so
hard
I am posing call to action to everybody listening. Take $1, $1, and donate to InMyDefenseFund.com. $1 does nothing for your pocket, but it'll do a world of somebody sitting behind a prison wall, wrongfully convicted, or currently going through the system. That $1 can change their life. And I need you to understand that could be you. It could be you or a family member or a friend.
Right.
But I had to throw that in there. Ms. Bianca's itching to ask you another question. Go for it, Ms. Bianca.
Okay. And let's be blunt. Do you think the justice system wants to fix this problem? Or are you exposing something they've built to last?
Yeah, they cemented this. Yeah.
Say the question again.
Okay. And do you think the justice system wants to fix this problem, or are you exposing something they've been...
She slammed her notes. She went to be blunt. She wanted to do it in your face. She wanted to do it in your face.
I don't know. I'm not sure for other states, but I know what's going on in California. Gascon tried to change a lot of things. He's a district attorney out of New York that started in San Francisco, and he's got a lot of things happening out here. There's a lot of new Racial Justice Act laws. There's a lot of new laws that was getting people out of prison. Lifers are going home now in different programs and stuff in California. So what you have, to answer your question, Bianca, what you have is a situation where you have both sides fighting against themselves, the ones that want to do right and the ones that want to keep the system status quo wrong.
I think they need the system status quo because they don't have a job, right?
Yeah. Well, not only that, they benefit more from the demonized concept than they do from the righteous concept.
And but doing let's it be the way real, James. Who doesn't benefit but for the defendant? The private attorney benefits. The public defender's office, because they got a case, they get tax money.
Yes.
The district attorney that prosecutes gets tax dollars. The judge has a case to hear. Even the jury get days off of work and get whatever jury pay and lunch.
Yes.
Everybody and the news media get to run the story.
It's a money
you,
grab.
The defendant, get to go to prison and they get to have your name splattered. And when you're found innocent or half of it's found not to be true, no one ever reports on that.
Not to mention the state getting X amount of dollars per day for holding.
Continuation with the probation.
Yep, and then probation fees and you know, forever, you know. I mean, and then you're never going to get this stuff with Google. you know, it ruined your life. Tell us, before we get into the next question, I want to get into your algorithm, but tell us, Bianca really wants to know, what are you feeling on emotions? I mean, she was like torn on this, like on your family stuff.
How do you feel like, what do you do to like make yourself stay strong through all this?
Fortunately, thanks to my past mother, I got my strength from her.
Who passed away during this, right? She passed away during this. Your mother passed away.
Yes, while I was here.
While you were not, yeah, right? Yeah, okay.
I've always been a fighter. Like, if I did something really wrong and you didn't know and you figured it out, I'm not going to fight you on that. But if I didn't do something, I'm going to fight you till there's no more breath.
You're gonna stand up, right.
And that's where I get my strength from. It's hard. Don't get me wrong. It's very difficult. I love my kids. I've missed 10 years of their life.
Well, tell us the family stuff. That's what Bianca's got a ton of notes written here. They say the victim impact. You're a victim here. What is your victim impact statement? What is your victim impact? What do you want the world to hear?
I look at it like this. Time that I've lost, I can never get back with my children. I was a present father. I wasn't a deadbeat. I was there. I cut umbilical cords. I go to recitals. I took you to school every day and picked you up. I was that guy. My oldest daughter, I raised
as a single father. You still are that guy. Yeah, you still are that guy.
I raised my oldest daughter as a single father. It's damaged our relationship with me being away. My son has suffered. They say when I was first locked up, my son would wear my clothes to bed.
Nah, see, missed his father. I knew this. She was like almost. She's actually current. Are you gonna? You all right?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
They couldn't understand why. Yeah. He's gone through so much. He's done. He's 21 now, but he's went through so much because we used to do Father Son Day every Saturday because there was all these girls in the house. So me and the guy had to go out and do guy day, and we did that without fail every Saturday. It was just me and
name
him.
Name something you used to do. The things you like to do as a father?
Oh man, it's too much.
That they stripped away from you. Well, give
my kids used to call me.
What did they take away from you? What did you lose?
They used to call me the dad carnival because I would play with them like I was one of them, swinging them around, doing various different things. Just I love my children. That's the hardest part of all of this is they took me away from my kids.
Unbelievable. This says volumes. I want to say volumes to you as a father and as a man. Because tell everybody how well your children have done. What are they doing now?
Oh, they're doing really well. They've been, in spite of all of it, they're doing okay. My son's a professional model. My daughter,
not an OnlyFans model, not OnlyFans or something.
No, not OnlyFans, a real model. He's a real professional model. My daughters, my twin daughters.
I'd love to hear him on the show if he'd like to come on and hear his perspective on how it destroyed the family.
Okay, my twin daughters, they were, they just turned 17, and they've been, you know, I left. One of the things I remember the most when I was still in county jail, it was a holiday for Christmas. And one of my twins, I asked her on the phone, I said, she's 7 years old. I said, what do you want for Christmas? You want a Barbie? You want this? You want that? She says, no, I want you to come home.
Wow. I mean, that digs deep. That digs deep because
that's honestly what she wanted. At 7 years old, she was able to say that.
This is like victimless. Nobody testified against you. Nobody said you actually. No, you. Nobody came in and said that you forced them into the sex trade.
No, they did is they did have the people come in and say what they said in New York and what have you. Problem is, they made them lie to keep me in jail.
Right.
You told different stories this time than what you said in New York.
And what was the statement that Miss Tiffany Price, the porn actress, said? What did she say in her?
She said that she was. They alleged kidnapping again, even though it's been proven that that didn't happen in the New York case. In this case, they had to drop the kidnapping. So if you look at in law, the stipulations of kidnapping and human trafficking are the same five stipulations. This case shouldn't have been that way, because if you in trial, even in trial, we didn't get charged with this kidnapping stuff. They realized it was a lie.
What did they say your criminal intent was? What was your criminal? Did you have criminal intent? There has to be criminal intent. What was your intent?
Basically, they've taken pimping and pandering to human trafficking. There's a difference.
Unreal. Yeah.
It's kind of like pimping and pandering, everybody's a willing participant in that situation.
Right.
You are just, it's like this. You're going to call me a bank robber and me and you go rob a bank and I talk you into robbing the bank. I might get a little bit more time, but you're still a bank robber.
Right.
You're not a victim right now because I talked you into robbing the bank.
Right. Free will. We have free will. Right. We have free will. You didn't hold somebody down.
You didn't.
You weren't in the room.
You didn't do anything to force them to
you
do
could
it.
Go
yeah, were
anywhere.
You in the room forcing her to have sexual relations with people? Okay.
Not at all.
There you go. Hands down.
You're somewhere across country doing things yourself on your own. That's why the feds dropped the case. Because they realized. They realized that.
Well, we're hoping that Washington, D.C. listens up. And I know that our current president has experience in overreaching government, has experienced a weaponized justice system himself personally.
Absolutely.
Maybe he'll take some interest in your case.
Hopefully.
Maybe Governor Gavin Newsom, who has bigger political aspirations, might take interest in this, especially when the former prosecutor you said was corrupt.
Well,
right?
Aside from all of everything, Eric, I shouldn't be here just based on the Constitution alone. Double jeopardy, it reads specific. It says you cannot be tried twice. You cannot be placed in jeopardy twice for the same case.
Right.
Right.
There are
we
some
were placed in jeopardy
folks
twice
out there,
for the same
is,
case.
Yeah.
Hands down. We don't have to talk about nothing else because that right there alone should take me home.
Right. And you know, I bet you and your AI thing, your program here, your discovery for the folks at Discovery is when the government turns over all the evidence that they're going to use against you in court. I can only imagine how many millions of pages of documents and stuff was in that. How could anybody possibly read that?
Oh, here's interesting. This is interesting, and I will read it. But the problem is,
I want to read it. Too. Send it to me.
I've been pro per, so I understand the legal concept.
Are you represented right now? Are you represented now, James?
I'm looking to get a lawyer right now. But I've been working my own case. That's how I know so much about it legally. But here's the thing. I did a 18-page motion to get the discovery to put my habeas corpus together. They still haven't given it to me. They're supposed to give it to me in 15 days. It's been a year now.
Wow.
Really?
They don't want to give it to me because they know that there's evidence in there to take me home. That's why they don't want to give it to me.
Actually file a writ of habeas corpus.
That's so unfair.
And they want me to file the habeas corpus without it because when you file that information without the proper procedure, that's how they keep you because they're going to find the loophole.
Stamp that. You got
to where they don't do that to an attorney because he has the bar number.
They won't mess with you got to stamp your date and you got to dig your feet in the sand. You got to file the writ. We're not doing legal advice on the show. We're just talking about the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Writ of habeas corpus. You got to present this to the court. You got to get the time clock rolling. So then you can get what it is. When they fail to properly produce, then your attorney.
Newly presented evidence, there's no time clock, Eric.
Right.
You have newly presented evidence for actual innocence, there's no time clock.
No, not for that.
I'm
saying for them. No, I'm saying for them to turn over your discovery.
Oh, yeah. I get
it. When they fail to adhere to that time frame, then your team will turn around and take a motion for dismissal. And then the judge should look at the prosecution in the courtroom and say, are you prepared to continue? Counselor? No? Okay. Well, then how can they not grant you the dismissal?
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
Where are we on time, Carrie, where are we on time? Because we might have to do a two-parter on this to come back and bring it back next week.
You got 2 minutes.
Yeah. You know what, Shane? I'm going to have you back on again. Folks, you need to check out Eric A. Sinati Unplugged. And obviously, we're going to have him back on again. We're going to be up on this case, James. Bianca, you have anything to say in the rest in 30 seconds before we can give him 30 seconds?
Well, I just hope that everything goes well for your case, and I just want you to have justice.
Yeah, we want folks, $1. James, tell them where they can do that. James?
We launched the website by this summer, and we also have AI in my defense, which is open source. And it'll allow people still in county jail to really know how to deal with their cases and their charges.
Very nice. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have all of this information available in the episode description. That'll be everywhere in iTunes, Apple, Spotify. They'll have all the links and all the ways to find you. James, okay. I got to cut you off. We got a time block. Thank you for being on the show, James.
Thank you for having me.
Godspeed with you. I hope the good fight goes in your direction.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, folks, we got a hard close here, but in summary, bottom line, something the legal system never saw coming.
Okay.
He codified through Meta Justice, his metadata. Good for him. He turned outrage into output. He took the cold, sterile, artificial intelligence and aimed it at one of the hottest civil rights issues of our time. My hat off to you. In my defensefund.com, folks. In my defensefund.com. Check them out. $1 would change somebody in this person's life. It's not a charity. It's a challenge. I dare you to do it. It's a challenge to every DA who's buried exculpatory evidence, who buried and lied and made accusations, tipped off the media to try to ruin you, to feed the jury. Every one of them, it's a wake-up call that their own system is coming back for them. Every judge who looked the other way needs to look straight ahead because the headlights of AI are coming at them. And every system that thinks incarceration equals closure, it just means you caged an animal. One day they're coming back for you. And you know what? They're coming back to AI. And here it is. James is coming to you. So you know what? As always, Miss Bianca.
Yeah.
360 times 365. 180 degrees forward, 180 behind you. 360 times 365 days a year.
That's right.
Folks, danger doesn't take a day off, and obviously the government doesn't either. With that, thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Bianca C.
Thank you for
being with us.
Yeah.
Catch us every time, every night, The Hostile Zone, in your favorite podcast platform. If you're not watching it live or listening live, if it's not on your TV, demand it. Have a good night, America. Come back and check this one out. We're going to follow the story. Good night, America.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, for the ramparts we watched were so gallant. Please dream me, and the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting out, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there,
and she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that